We're going to be speaking about the Sabbath today. My title is The Sabbath, a Physical and Spiritual Rest. I'd like to start out by asking you some questions. And the first being, what does the Sabbath mean to you? Does the Bible tell us what it means for us, or are we just guessing at what it means? And maybe you are all sitting here today without a cause, and maybe the Sabbath is really on another day, as the rest of the world seems to think. Does the Bible tell us how to keep the Sabbath? Well, we're going to look in the Bible to see exactly what God's Word has to say about the Sabbath. I have 7 points for it today. It's my first time doing points, so we'll see how this goes. Point one, the first mention of the Sabbath. God spent the week recreating the earth, man, and all there was. And you can find this in Genesis 2 and verse 1. You'll turn with me there. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. And this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So God rested on the seventh day from all his work. Why did he do this? Was he tired? If you'll turn with me to Isaiah 40 and verse 28, we'll find the answer. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So no, God was not tired. He didn't need to rest, but he made the Sabbath for us, for man. If you turn to Mark 2 and verse 27. This is Christ speaking here, and he says, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So, God made the Sabbath for man, for him to rest. And yet, so many Christians today simply overlook this command, decide to keep Sunday as their Sabbath. And as we study into the subject of the Sabbath a little bit more today, we'll see that there is a duality in the meaning of the Sabbath, as there is with most of God's plans found throughout the Bible. So the Sabbath day, this is point two, the Sabbath, when? If we look into the Word of God, we find that the Sabbath starts on Friday evening and ends on the following evening of Saturday. This is a full 24-hour time frame. And this is actually how God counts days, from sunset to sunset, as it says in Leviticus 23 and verse 32. But man has corrupted God's ways, and so today we tend to think of a day as being from sunrise to sunset. So how do we know when to keep the Sabbath? If you turn with me to Romans 3 and verse 1. We read, what advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? In verse 2, much in every way, chiefly because to them are committed to the oracles of God. The oracles include such things as the Ten Commandments, Old Testament scriptures, and the knowledge of the Sabbath, of when the Sabbath was to be kept. Without this preservation of the oracles, we today would have no clue as to when the Sabbath or holy days were to be kept. Point three, the Sabbath, a test. If you turn with me to Exodus 16 and verse 4, We read of the Israelites. As they were traveling through the desert. Chapter 16 and verse 4. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. Verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And so it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. And so when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Verse 16, This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather according to each one's needs, one omer for each person according to the number of persons, and let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And so when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who had gathered little lacked none. Every man had gathered according to each one's needs. And Moses said, Let no one leave any of it till morning. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, and every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. In verse 22, And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. And so they laid up till the morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. As were before, if they had left it overnight, it would stink and there would be worms. In verse 25, Then Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. And so the people rested on the seventh day. So we see that God here is providing food for the people on the Sabbath. It was a remarkable thing in that this food would last 2 days rather than how it would usually last only 1 day. So God said, Let no man go out of this place on the seventh day, and then the people were to rest. If you will, turn with me to Numbers 15 and verse 31, and we will see the cause and effect of the man who did decide to work on the Sabbath. Numbers 15 and verse 31. Because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person shall be completely cut off, his guilt shall be upon him. In verse 32. Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Verse 35. Then the Lord said to Moses, This man shall surely be put to death. and all the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. And so, as the Lord commanded, Moses and all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. God was very serious about the Sabbath being kept. He was serious then, and he is serious today, because we know that God never changes. If you will, Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same to yesterday, today, and forever. And so it says also in the likes in Malachi 3 and verse 6. And even after the Israelites came into the promised land, they continued to have problems in the keeping of the Sabbath. Ancient Israel and Judah were warned on multiple occasions by numerous prophets that God sent to warn them. Turn to Isaiah 56 and verse 1, we read of one of these warnings. We read Isaiah 56, 1 to verse 7. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keep his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner, who has joined himself to the Lord, speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name, even that of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, and they shall not be cut off. Also the sons of foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant. Verse 7. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So we can see that this wasn't only just a warning for Judah then, but it's a warning for all mankind to keep the Sabbath today. But because of Judah's lack of respect for keeping the Sabbath, God sent the nations into captivity. And he is going to do the same soon because of people's indifference today. But what about you and I? Are we going to keep the Sabbath always, no matter what? Has the Sabbath been a test for any of us? Thankfully for me and my jobs, it hasn't been a real big issue. But I've heard of stories where people have actually lost their jobs and family, so on and so forth, because of their decision to keep the Sabbath. Unfortunately, there's a time coming soon when we will be persecuted for the keeping of the Sabbath, and it will be a test of our faith to see if we will continue to keep the Sabbath. How will this happen? If you turn to Daniel 7 and verse 25. We read in verse, we'll start in verse 24. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. In verse 25, and he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. And the saints shall be given into his hands for times and a half a time. And then also in Revelation 13, verse 15. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he shall cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. At this point, I'd like to quote from our free booklet, Europe in Prophecy, The Unfolding of End Times Events, pages 13 and 14. It says, the caption says, how will you be identified? What is the mark of the beast, and what has the second beast the religious power to do with it? The mark comes from the first beast, but the second beast causes all people to accept this mark. We can get a clue about its character and what has gone before in Roman Empire and its revivals. Notice what historian Will Durant says in The Age of Faith, volume 4 of his renowned work, The Story of Civilization, about the Code of Justinian. This code, like the Theodosian, enacted Orthodox Christianity into law. It began by declaring for the Trinity. It acknowledged the ecclesiastical leadership of the Roman Church and ordered all Christian groups to submit to her authority. Relapsed heretics were to be put to death, and other dissenters were to suffer confiscation of their goods and were declared incompetent to buy or to sell. So those who were not Orthodox Catholics were forbidden from buying and selling, i.e. conducting business. Those were branded heretics, faced a death sentence. Thus, the mark of the beast apparently means general participation in the worship system of the revived Roman Empire. Of course, there are some aspects of worship which delineate those who refuse to participate more than other factors. The little horn, remember, intended to change times and laws, indeed, to change the law regarding the holy times, and persecuted God's people who did not accept its change. God has commanded his people to keep certain times holy, and during these holy times, his people are not to engage in commerce. The little horn changed those times, replacing God's holy times with times designated by man to be holy. A very obvious aspect of the beast, then, will apparently revolve around worshiping days. Indeed, this itself would impact days on which buying and selling could be conducted. The Bible is very clear about which days God has made holy, the weekly Sabbath. We need to be strong enough in our beliefs that nothing will cause us to forget the Sabbath, and we must be careful to appreciate the knowledge God has given us. If we just observe the Sabbath as a routine, as something we know we have to do rather than wanting to do, then we will lose our understanding of the special meaning of the Sabbath and the holy days. Point 4. How to keep the Sabbath. So, how should we keep the Sabbath? If you'll turn with me to Exodus 20 and verse 8, we'll read to verse 11. This is where God gives Israel the Ten Commandments. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall do labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So God made the seventh day holy. And so my question here for you is, how do you keep the Sabbath holy? And you may ask, well, what do you mean by holy? If you will, let's look at an example in Exodus 3 and verse 1. So it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So here Moses was tending sheep in the desert. God had not yet called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now go aside, turn aside to see this great sight and why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. As he came to the bush, God said to him, take your sandals off, for the ground where you stand is holy. Moses here did not stop to argue with God. He did not ask why it was holy. No, Moses obeyed. What was it that made this place holy? Was it the ground? No. It was God's presence in the bush that made it holy. The surrounding bushes and the ground were not holy. God had to reveal to Moses that the ground was holy and that he was present in it, that Moses must remove his shoes from it. He was not given a choice, but he had to treat the ground as special and as holy. And there is a direct connection to the Sabbath in this point. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah explains here that there are ways to profane God's holy Sabbath, and just like the ground burning around the bush, we are commanded to take our feet, or rather our shoes, off of God's holy time, the time that points to him and his, a time that points to him and that it has his holy presence in it. And my fifth point, a little more on how to keep the Sabbath. If you'll turn with me to Exodus 23 and verse 12. And we read, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. Now, if we go back and you here it says, 6 days you shall work, do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. If you look at the Greek word for that in Strong's, and the number is H7673, the word rest means it's a primitive root, to repose, that is, to desist from exertion, used in many implied relations, causatively, figuratively, or specifically. It means to cause, to let, to make to cease, to celebrate, to keep the Sabbath, to leave, to put away, to rest, rid, still, or take away. And then continuing on in the verse, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and that the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. If you look at the Greek word for refreshed, Strong's number is H5314, and it means nephesh. It means to breathe passively, to breathe upon, that is figuratively refreshed, as if by a current of air, or refreshed selves. So from these Greek words, we can see that the Sabbath is meant to be refreshing, both physically and spiritually. The Sabbath is a time for us to forget about the world and all its pressures, ideas, media, and to focus in on what God has in plan for us. It's a time for reflection, prayer, and meditation. And if we are keeping the Sabbath only because the Bible says we have to, then we will miss the point of the Sabbath entirely. who can't wait for the Sabbath to be over so we can get back to the world and to his passing pleasures of sin, then we will once again have missed the point of the Sabbath. My sixth point, Sabbath commandment. I'd like to contrast the commandment of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus with those in Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy shows a little different wording. If you turn to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12, we'll read to verse 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 13. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. God had brought the children of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt, which we know is a type of sin. And this, of course, has a spiritual application for us today. We are all slaves to Satan, to sin, and to Egypt, figuratively speaking. If you turn to Galatians 5 and verse 1, we read, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which God has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It is only those who God calls at this time to come out of Egypt who have the Holy Spirit and can therefore understand many of the many importances of the Sabbath. One being the observance of the weekly Sabbath, which helps to remind us, hopefully on a continual basis, of the fact that we have been set free and are no longer slaves. Point 7, the big picture. So we've seen so far the importance of the Sabbath and why it's important for us to keep it holy. So now let's look at what the Sabbath day pictures for us. Turn to Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel is preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter the rest as he has said. So I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. Verse 4, for he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day. In verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest for himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. So the Sabbath also shows us a time for millennial rest. It will be 1,000 years in which there will be peace and spiritual rest. A time when Christ will return to the earth and enforce the commandments, peace, love, and of course the Sabbath. And if you will turn to Zechariah 14 and verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, and not that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come up to not to the Feast of Tabernacles. So we will see that the nations who won't go up year by year will be punished. Maybe it's just my speculation, but I was thinking that even if these nations won't go from year to year, then they most likely aren't wanting to keep the Sabbath day either. So therefore, it will be our job to teach these nations about the Sabbath and how to keep it holy. The Sabbath holds much meaning for us, and I have just scratched the surface. I would encourage each of you to do a Bible study on the Sabbath, for there are many scriptures pertaining to the Sabbath. Hope you all have a wonderful Sabbath.